Now, are you guys filled with joy of the Lord? Let's try it again. Are you guys filled with the joy of the Lord? Amen. All right, there we go. Some excitement. All right. But my next question is, do you carry that joy with you wherever you go? Some people do. Some people don't. Some people try. Some say, forget it. I just can't do it. All right? But the reality is that, man, we have this joy that is given to us, and we are meant to carry it with us wherever we go. And so let's pray this morning before we get started. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be in service, to be able to gather together, to worship you, God, to honor you, to glorify you, Father. And Lord, I just pray that as we gather this morning, that our hearts and our minds will be focused on you, Father. God, that you would go before us in the message, God, that you would speak clearly to our hearts and our minds, God, and that we would be open vessels ready to receive all that you have for us this morning, Father. I pray that we will worship you and glorify you in all that we do on this day. It's in your son's precious and mighty name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, so the title of my message this morning is The Source of Our Joy. The Source of Our Joy. And so me and Matt, for probably the past couple months, I've really got into running together. We'll go out for runs, and he'll send me a message, and I'll send him a message to see how far I ran that day, how far he ran that day, how fast he ran, could I run faster than he ran. And we kind of have a friendly competition with putting in mileage. And so yesterday, I decided to go out for a run. And so I'm going out on this run, and I'm just, my prayer before I started to run was like, God, I need your help. God, I need you to speak and minister to my heart exactly what you want me to say tomorrow, exactly what you want me to kind of highlight and pinpoint. And so I felt like as I was going on my run, like God gave me this assignment. And I'm not normally the person that does something like this, but I was on assignment. So my wife doesn't even know I did this. But so that's why it took me so long running yesterday. But so I was on assignment. And so I'm out and I'm running through the metro parks, and it was nice. It was a beautiful day. The sun wasn't shining, but it was a beautiful day. The weather felt good. And so I'm running, and as I'm running, I felt like God said, I want you to ask people what brings them joy. What brings them joy and what takes away their joy? And so I'm out running, and then I pause my workout, and there's this nice area where there's a nature center. Over by my house, and people usually walk the steps or walk the trails and things like that. And so, you know, I'm stopping, and I'm just walking up to random people. It's like, hey, can I ask you a question? And it was nice because I didn't have a mask on, so people could see my friendly smile. I mean, I looked kind of rough. I was in workout clothes. My hair was crazy. And so I didn't want people to be afraid of me. And so I was like, hey, can I ask you a question? Big smile on my face. I was like, I'm doing an assignment, and I'm just going around asking people two questions. And so question number one was like, hey, what brings you joy? And then I followed it up with the question of, man, what takes away your joy? And so I came across a young couple first, and this was a young lady, and I'm assuming it was her husband, and they're walking with the baby in the stroller. And I was like, hey, what brings you joy? And the lady was like, immediately her and her husband's gaze looked at the baby in the stroller and was like, this is what brings me joy. I was like, I could relate to that, right? And then I said, what takes away your joy? And the mom was like, stress. And the guy was like, not being organized. He's like, I like to have things like this, 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 and this, and when they're not together, it takes away my joy. And then I moved on to another lady farther down the trail, and I stopped and I said, hey, what brings you joy? And she said, God, with a smirk on her face. And I was like, I kind of was like hesitant to receive that response because I felt like she did it intentionally because she knew the response I was looking for. I was like, okay, cool. And then I was asking the guy she was with, and he's like, I didn't hear you. So I walk a little bit closer, and I ask him again, and the dog's like growling at me. And I was like, okay, I'm friendly. And he was like, you know what? Have a good day. And he just walked away. And what I came to notice is that when you talk to people, guys really don't smile much, man. We don't really smile. You know, all the guys had like this stiff look on their face. And then I kept going through the trails, and I stopped and I asked another guy, and I was like, hey, man, what brings you joy? And he said, God. And I was like, what takes away your joy? He said, the devil. I was like, okay. Kept walking, asked some more people, what brings you joy? Being out in nature. I love it. What takes away your joy? Death. That one hit me hard. I move on to another person, the lady. I said, hey, man, what brings you joy? She's like, I've been cooped up all winter. She's out with her dog and her son. She's like, being out in nature, my family, my kids, like this is what brings me joy. And then I said, what takes away your joy? And she said a couple choice words that I can't repeat in service. But to sum it up, she said, people who are jerks. I was like, okay, works. I got you. I asked another lady, and she said her dog brings her joy. What takes away your joy? Work. Another, nature. What takes away your joy? People. You know? So you got all these different responses from different people. And out of over the dozen people that I asked, you know, God only came up twice. Other people said joy came from their kids, but their kids also took their joy. I mean, parents, you understand, you know, right? kids, don't take it personal. We love you. You know, but then others said being positive, breathing life into people, and then seeing people not be kind and hate takes away their joy. And so as we look around the world today, as we read news feeds or we hop on social media or we scroll through things as we're doing life, man, 9 times out of 10, what we see on the headlines or the news are not joy-giving things. Right, we see things that tend to rob us of our joy, that tend to make us sad. I know that as I read my fake news on Facebook and I'm scrolling through and it tells me stuff and my head is just, I'm shaking my head in disgust and I'm frustrated and I'm angry about the world and the culture that we're living in and the division and the tension that we see. And these are things that try to suck the life and joy out of us. But see, that can only suck the joy and life out of me if that was the source of my joy. But it's not. And it's not the source of your joy as well. See, I know there are many things that add and bring joy to my life. Like my family. Like my children. Like my church family, most of the time. Like having the opportunity to go on adventures and experience life, they bring joy to my life, but they are not the source of my joy. See, because what happens is when we try to make things, people, places, the source of our joy, what happens when those things are gone? What happens when we lose those things? When we look to that to be our source of joy, when it's no longer around, then we feel like we've lost it all. We feel like we have nothing to hold on to or nothing to fight for anymore. So that's why people, places, and things and activities can't be the source of our joy, because we can't get joy from anything but Jesus. That is the source. That's what maintains us. That's what sustains us. And so my verse of the day, and this is where I'm focusing, and I've been chewing on this verse all week, and I read it, and I shared it with my wife, and we just kind of like, man, that's a good verse. And this verse has become my life verse. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 has kind of become my life verse. I look to reflect on this verse and meditate on it and chew on it as I'm journeying through my faith. And there are no slides. I'm going old school. I stopped doing PowerPoints. So here we go. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 is going to be the focus passage of our this morning of the message. And it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Man, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Man, so as I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about joy, and I was thinking about the fact that, man, we have a very real enemy. We have very real people who want to rob us of our joy. And I don't understand why people walk around so angry and upset and with so much hate and envy in their hearts that we want to see the destruction, that we want to see other people unhappy. But it says, man, for us to let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And the reason why I'm focusing on this verse is because as I think about our joy and the joy that we're supposed to carry wherever we go, like our eyes, in order for us to maintain that joy through our struggles, through our circumstances, through our ups and downs, our eyes have to be fixated on Jesus. And so as I was reading this verse, the part that really is kind of pounding on my heart is for who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Now, none of us has ever experienced the suffering that Jesus experienced in that moment. But Jesus looked at that moment and was in that moment with joy. And why did he have joy in that moment? It wasn't because he was going to get pierced to the cross. It wasn't because he was beaten and flogged. It wasn't because people spat on him and disrespected him and talked and said nasty things to him and tried to physically break him to the point of non-existence. He had joy in that moment because he knew what the end result was. His joy in that moment was, I'm doing this, I'm laying down my life willingly to sacrifice myself so that you and I could enter into an eternal relationship God. He willingly laid down his life. He willingly suffered. He took joy in that suffering because he knew what the end result would produce for you and for I. Man, you talk about love. That's love. That's unexplainable love. And so as we move forward, man, as we talk about Jesus and this idea of joy, man, I want us to carry joy with us wherever we're at, whatever season we're in, whatever circumstance we're facing. I want us to carry this joy. But we all often question, like, how do I take joy with me when my life is a mess? How do I carry this joy when things aren't going my way? And see, Hebrews chapter 2 tells us very clearly, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's how I have joy in my trials and my circumstances. That's how I have joy when things are going great. That's how I have joy when things are sucky in life, right? I keep my eyes fixated on Jesus. And so I did this little acronym, JOY, J-O-Y, right? And so the first piece is J is Jesus. Man, understanding that the source of my joy is Jesus. While I love my family can't be the source of my joy. While I love my teens that I get to minister to, they can't be the source of my joy. While I love my children and all that they bring to life in me, they are not the source of my joy. Because there are moments where my kids are going to do stuff and it's going to drive me nuts. And in that moment, I would allow my joy to be stolen away. But they're not the source of my joy. And so the reason why I say that, in order for us to experience joy and carry it with us, our eyes have to be fixated on Jesus, because if we look through the Bible, excuse me, as we look through the Bible, man, there are tons of stories that talk about joy, right? But there's also tons of stories that talk about suffering. And see, this walk with Jesus is not all peaches and cream, and we don't have this all hunky-dory life because we follow Jesus. Jesus talks about, hey, we will experience trials. We will face some hardships, but you can still have joy in those hardships because you know the end result. We've already obtained victory in Jesus. And so, J and joy is Jesus. Fixate our eyes on Jesus. As Jesus experienced his trials and temptations on this earth, where was his gaze focused? On God, on his heavenly Father. And we know that Jesus was the author and perfecter of our faith, so he is the perfect model that we are to follow after when it looks like how we are supposed to live our walk and our journey with God, right? So as Jesus was going through those things, as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying and asking God, man, God, if you would take this cup from me, but your will be done, not mine. He's so stressed out and so overwhelmed and feeling the suffrage and pain for what he's about to do on the cross that he's sweating blood. But his focus was on the Father. As we think about Stephen, an apostle, if you read in the book of Acts, right, we know the apostles and we know that the disciples went through many suffering circumstances, situations. They had faced persecution. They were being killed left and right. These are things that still happen today. We may not experience here in the American church, we have a little more freedom and liberty, a lot more freedom and liberty, that we don't face some of the same hardships and experiences that others experience. But we know the disciple Stephen, he's going out and he's preaching the gospel of God. And he's telling people about Jesus. And in this moment and in this time, there's gentlemen picking up stones to throw at him and kill him. And in that moment, he doesn't shy away from continuing to share the gospel. But the Bible tells us that he fixates his gaze towards heaven. Now, none of us have ever been stoned to death, but I can't imagine being in a position where people are throwing stones at me, and then his joy and his gaze is fixated on. He still had joy because he was doing what God had called him to do. He was fulfilling his purpose. He was walking it out. In the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul uses the word joy over 16 times. So you think, man, somebody's using the word joy over 16 times. Man, he must be in a great place, right? He's somewhere laying on the beach, having iced tea, enjoying life. The sun rays are beating down on him, and life is good. But no, the Apostle Paul is locked up in chains in prison, and he's focused on the joy of the Lord that he has in Christ. He says that I know that my suffering will go on to do greater things because of it's pointing people to Christ. This suffering and this hardship that I'm experiencing is pointing people to Jesus. Man, it's crazy to think the idea that as we suffer, we can still have joy. But the Bible tells us that we can still have joy because of Jesus. That Jesus is the source of our joy. He is what gives us life, right? And I love it because we know that as Jesus ascended, he sent us a helper, right? This amazing helper, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that dwells with inside our being. The moment we say yes to Jesus, man, he sent us a helper to be able to carry this joy, to be able to carry this excitement, to be able to carry this enthusiasm that we can have for God. So as we move on in joy, we're going to move on to the O, obedience. Not a lot of people's favorite word, obedience. See, I love it because in Hebrews chapter 12, 2, once again, it says, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 5, 8, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. See, even though Jesus knew what was about to happen to him, and he could have probably pulled himself back, like, you know, I'm not doing this. But even in the suffering and knowing the torture and the things that he would experience, he still walked it out in obedience. He went to the cross willingly because he wanted to obey the Father. And see, as we journey through this life, as we journey as Christians, man, we are called to be obedient. We are called to respond to what God is calling us to do with our lives. We are called, because we exist, we are called to take action. See, many of us as Christians today, we like to say we're Christians, but we're more comfortable coming to church and sitting down on a Sunday morning and hearing worship songs and then forgetting that I'm a Christian the rest of the week. Don't take it personal, but we know that it happens. But we are called to walk in obedience. We are called to respond to the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for you and I, which means our lives need to look a whole lot different than the world around us. Obedience. See, we can still have joy even in our circumstance because of God, but also that as we think about the people that we have in our life that try to take away our joy, we need to make sure that we keep our eyes fixated on Jesus and that obedience. I'm thinking about Job chapter 6, verse 10. It says, then I will still have this consolation, my joy in unrelenting pain, that I had not denied the words of the Holy One. In all of his suffering, Job's only source of comfort was that he did not turn from his Lord. Job always tried to honor and obey God. With this reality deep in his heart, he experienced peace and joy even in his pain. If you've read the book of Job, you know what Job went through. He lost it all. His wife even said, why don't you just curse God and die? He had friends telling him negative things. Job was suffering, but he was determined to be obedient, to continue to talk about the Holy One in positive sight and focus on him. Man, we are called to live a life of obedience. See, God's word tells us, it commands us that, hey, man, as we remain in God, he will remain in us. As we do his commands, man, we will be poured out blessings in favor. And we're not doing it for the blessings, but we're doing it for Jesus. The last part is yield. The why in joy. So we have Jesus, obedience, yield. See, we find and experience true joy when we get in line with God's purposes for our life. We experience true joy when we get in line with God's purposes for our lives. See, yesterday I had an opportunity to experience pure joy. Now, it's strange to sometimes walk up to people you don't know and ask them questions out of the blue. But when I was able to walk up to people and I was able to ask them those questions and to hear the responses and to see the smiles on their face when I talked the word joy, it brought joy to me. It brought joy that I was able to interact and connect with people and to see them elated, just to have a conversation with somebody else. It brought joy to me because people asked me, hey, well, what brings you joy? And I was able to say the name Jesus. See, I experienced joy when I was obedient to God in that moment. I yielded to my own personal agenda in my run for the day, and I felt like I was walking in the purpose that God had for me. Man, people were so excited that I was talking to them about joy. In a world where we aren't experiencing much joy, I yielded to my own agenda and focused on what God told me to do just for that 30 minutes to an hour. I experienced that joy because I felt like I was walking in purpose for God in that moment. And I'll tell you another story that brought joy to my life. This past Thursday, we had our sports banquet. And a parent came up to me, and he was one of the coaches or whatever at our school where our kids go. And he walked up to me, and he was sharing with me that on Thursday, his I want to say 7 or 8 year old son, his name's JoJo. His 7 or 8 year old son had made it a decision to accept Jesus in his heart. Ain't that, man? At 7, he's like, he accepted Jesus. He came home and the house was all chaotic, and he whispered to his dad. He was like, hey, Dad, look at this. I gave my life to Jesus today. And boy, man, I got goosebumps. I was just elated. Man, I was like, yeah, way to go. I bumped my high five. I was like, man, how awesome is that, right? Because there's joy in Jesus. There's life in Jesus. And so when we give our lives and keep our eyes fixated on Jesus, man, what joy we have. What joy we have responsible to carry with us. Man, they said there will be more rejoicing in heaven over the one who turns away from the sinful life and gives their life to Jesus. So you know they were rejoicing over that little dude saying yes to Jesus. And I was rejoicing in my heart as well because I was like, man, how awesome is this? But yield. Yield to God's purposes for our lives. Philippians 1:21 says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. This is the Apostle Paul. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Man, we need to yield to our own personal agendas and plans and be fixated on God as the center of our lives. See, I love this passage because for Paul, he goes on to say, he says, you know, it's really hard for me because I know that it will be better to go up to heaven and be with God. But then also know that God has called me to do something, to yield to what I truly desire in my heart. He's called me to go on. So he said, it's better for me to remain in the body and continue to spread the news of the gospel than for me to depart. And so that's what I shall do until God calls me heavenward. See, Paul yielded to his own plans and agenda. Psalms 51:12 says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Do you still have the joy of the salvation in your heart? Do you still carry it with you? Because I know every so often after we've been on this journey for a while, man, we lose sight of the cross. We lose sight of the price that was paid for you and for I. We lose sight of the suffering that Jesus went through so that we can come into an eternal relationship with him. Do you carry that joy? And he says, uphold me with a willing spirit. See, Jesus sent us the helper to help us, to will us, to keep us focused and moving forward on this journey and fulfilling the purposes that he's placed on our life. Romans 14, 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Man, we are supposed to be a righteous people. We are supposed to be a people of peace. We're supposed to be a people of joy. And so we're supposed to carry joy with us wherever we go. And in that passage in Romans, it also talks about how we are not to be stumbling blocks for other believers and for other people for that matter. And what I see today, when I look at social media, what I hear in conversations, unfortunately, a lot of us have become stumbling blocks for other believers. To mask or not to mask. To vaccine or not to vaccine. Social justice, I don't believe in that social justice piece. It didn't happen to me, so I don't have to worry about it. See, there's division and there's hate and there's all these things that we're bringing. Yes, Christians are saying these things. Christians are spewing filth out of their mouths because they don't agree with somebody else. But Romans tells us, man, it says we are to be people that are righteous, people that are peace, people that are joy in the Holy Spirit. So let your conversations and your actions be fruitful. So there's certain things that we don't do because we're carrying the joy of the Lord. So as I'm driving through traffic and somebody cuts me off, I'm not going to flip them the bird. I know other people do it, but I'm not going to do it. Why? Because I am a walking representative of Jesus. My facial expressions, my actions, they speak to my Savior. If I call myself a Christian, then my life better reflect the Christ in me. Right? If I'm in a store and I'm not going to get into an argument with somebody over some nonsense, I'm not going to allow people to steal my joy. The coworker that gets on my nerves that I can't stand. I love all my coworkers here. But just say, the coworkers that gets on your nerves and you can't stand, right? We are to carry this joy of Jesus with us in our conversations, in the way we act, in the way that we carry things. Like, we have it because we have the Holy Spirit. And I don't know what each and every single one of you have gone through. I don't understand some of your pain. I don't understand some of your hurts. I don't understand some of the downfalls that you've experienced in this life. But I know typically as we're suffering and as we're going through things, man, we typically don't carry this joy with us. Because what we tend to do is we tend to run to other people. We tend to turn to money. We tend to complain. We tend to become bitter. We tend to become envious. But our situations and circumstances can and should be opportunities to reflect Jesus. I'm not saying that it's easy. I know it's hard. When I'm going through something, when my mind is fluttered and fixated on things, looking left and right versus being fixated on Jesus, man, it's not a good place. It's not a good place. But God tells us, man, our testimony should be pointing people to Jesus, not making them run away from God. And so when we have joy, Jesus, obedience, and yielding to our own personal plans and agendas, man, we can still reflect joy to the world around us. Man, as you read through the Old Testament and the New Testament, you see that the people of God, those who were truly and fully invested, and they allowed the Holy Spirit to operate in their life, no matter what situation, no matter what circumstance they found themselves in, they were always pointing to Jesus. They were always talking about the gospel. Is it better for me to be obedient to man or to be obedient to God? I would say, let's be obedient to God. Man, we need to make sure that we are fixated on the Father. 1 Peter 1:8 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. The real focus of our lives should be Jesus. Because as we're going through trials, as we're going through situations and circumstances, and people look at us and they say, man, how are they so joyful right now? We can say it's because of Jesus. Man, that's the source of our joy. That's what sustains and fulfills us. Not people, places, and things. So your joy, be fixated on Jesus. Walk in obedience to God. We're called to be obedient. Man, we experience so much goodness. Even if it's suffering, we experience so much goodness when we're obedient to God. And understand, you're going to face opposition. As you walk in obedience to God, you're going to face opposition. You're going to be rejected. Even people in the church will say, you're crazy. I'm not sure that's what God said to you. But guess what? You're doing what God has called you to do. So walk in obedience and yield. Yield to your own personal plans and agendas. Why? Because what God has for us is so much better than what we want for ourselves. So walk in this joy. And so I'm going to challenge you guys over this next week, my people here, my people online. This is my challenge to you. And take this challenge to heart and actually do it. See, what I found out as I was asking as I was asking a question and I was listening people's responses, the one gentleman said, the devil can't take your joy. Nothing can steal your joy unless you willingly give it up. Nothing can steal your joy unless you willingly give it up. So I was like, man, that's an even deeper conversation I could have had with that gentleman right there. But I was focused on my own plans and agenda, so I had to go on to the next people. And then the one lady who shared that death took away her joy. But I know that as a believer, man, death is a good thing because it means that I'm going on to be in heaven with my Heavenly Father. Now, in a moment, there's sorrow and there's grief, but death's not going to take my joy. I'm rejoicing, especially for my fellow believers. I'm rejoicing like, hey, life is good. You walking on streets of gold. You singing, praising God. You free. Ain't no more bondage, no more chains, no more sin. You're free. You rejoice in death when we know Jesus. And so I want to challenge you guys to walk up to some random people this week. I know, be safe. But whether it be at work, whether it be your neighbor, whether it be in the grocery store, whether it be at the gas station, I want to challenge you to ask people these two questions. What brings you joy? And what takes away your joy? And wait for the opportunity to speak life into that person. Because what I found was, man, there were many opportunities to talk about Jesus. There were many opportunities to share stories and to talk about the love that the Father has for us and that our true joy comes from him, not from the things of this world. So genuinely ask those questions this week. Man, where does your joy come from? And what takes away your joy? Because I promise you, there will be an opportunity for you to minister to somebody. God tells us to take action. So this is an easy way for you to take action. Because you bring up the term joy and people are like, oh, I want to talk about some joy. Let's talk about some joy. It's an amazing opportunity, man, to share the joy that we have in Jesus. So take the task wholeheartedly. Online, you can log on to Facebook and tell me what responses you got. I really want you guys to come up to me or call the office or email me and let me know some of the response. I want my mailbox to be full. Because you guys are taking this challenge literally, and you're looking for an opportunity to share Jesus. Because if your source of joy is Jesus, then man, you got a whole lot to say.